The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. Grace and peace to you from God the Sovereign and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm not sure if you guys have a weekly Bible study based on the lectionary texts. Some congregations do, and I'm not sure about St. Matt's anymore. I haven't looked at your weekly schedule in a while. But even if you don't, I invite you to read and just ponder these texts even briefly. Our readings today are really, really fascinating. Hebrews especially, which I'm not really going to focus on in this sermon. Instead, I'm going to focus on Genesis and Mark because they're kind of interesting. They talk about marriage in a day and age where we have lots of discussion on what that means. We are in the ELCA, which to this day is still struggling to understand what families nowadays look like and how, as people of faith, we can support different-looking families. To become a pastor, you write a huge amount of essays about your own personal understanding of God. You get so tired of it that it's kind of amazing. My own personal theology is rooted in Genesis and rooted in the very beginning of Genesis. I usually cite God saying, "Let us make people in our image," because it's really not man, it's more humankind or dirt people, if we're going to be really honest. But that idea of "let us," of God speaking in a plural, really is a good way to symbolize and understand God. That God fundamentally is in community with God's self. So for God to make people in God's image means centrally, fundamentally, community is important, not only to God's identity, but to our own. Throughout the creation accounts, God is always making things and saying, "It is good." But our reading today is the only time where God says, "It is not good. It is not good for a person to be alone." That is echoed in our gospel reading as well. It's something we might consider progressive revelation, a term that scholars use to say that in the Hebrew Bible, we get nuggets, we get principles and concepts that are further developed when Jesus comes along. So this idea of divorce, for example, Moses kind of said divorce is a free thing that you can use freely, but it was used as power over, because without a husband, women were not worth very much. So Jesus kind of elaborates on that teaching and goes a little bit deeper. And while Jesus is talking about marriage, it should only be understood as an example of community, because we know community takes many other forms. Jesus himself was never married. We're not even sure if Paul was married. If he was, it wasn't something he was always enthusiastic about. And I can sort of understand that. Ultimately, community is never easy. This year, 2 days after Thanksgiving, my wife and I, who will be here in the second service, so I get to embarrass her, will have been married for 11 years, and I kind of forget how long we dated before that. Anyone who's married or in any sort of close relationships or seen a marriage might know that over time things change. Our relationship, my wife and I, is very different now than when it was when we first started dating or when we were first married. We've learned how to better relate to each other. We've learned how to better support each other. And ultimately, the type of support we need from each other has changed and evolved, and we have as well. As I learned to support her, I also learned better ways to antagonize and annoy her, as she will easily admit. But that's what happens with relationships, that ultimately we never get it right, so we practice. Marriage is a great way to do that. We practice how to love one person over and over again, and hopefully we sometimes get better at it. Being in community with people allows us to do that. And marriage is just the smallest example of what community can look like. So are our immediate families. But that's not always easy. It's not always a happy story. Sometimes people grow apart, or sometimes people just can't stand to be together for whatever reason. Last weekend, I was preaching three services in Winona, New Jersey. And on Saturday night, I had called the congregation and said, hey, just so you know, I'm on my way, I'm going to be a little late. And they understood that, because they knew that my sister, who I should not talk about, but she should also come to church once in a while, decided to schedule her wedding on a Saturday evening where I had to pastor. So I literally did her ceremony, jumped in the car after grabbing as many hors d'oeuvres as possible, ran to Winona, did a service there, and then went back to the wedding. And this was my sister's second marriage. Her first marriage was not a good fit. I did that one as well, along with Pastor Brett Ballinger of Prince of Peace, so I blame him for it not working out. But this wedding was entirely different. It felt so much more authentic to who my sister is and my new brother-in-law. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. And it felt like everyone who was there, while the wedding was more simple, was more truly there to celebrate the couple and the family that they are creating. It's what wedding receptions and weddings should be, a celebration of love. Ultimately, if we go through our wedding ceremony, we see that. We see that marriages are just a manifestation, just a reflection of the love that God so freely shows us. But sometimes relationships don't work out, like my sister's first marriage. Like so many family relationships that we might have or that we've witnessed that fall apart or are distant. Sometimes, even in my own family, I've seen it, that someone has to separate themselves from someone else because the relationship is harmful or toxic. And it's never what we wish or what we hope for. But even out of those situations, hope can come. New beginnings can come. Ultimately, throughout life, we have friends, we have family members who we may stay in contact with and in community with. And sometimes it just doesn't happen. If we take the words of the gospel too literally, we can put ourselves in situations where there isn't much hope, that are dark, where we feel forced to be in relationship with people where there might not be life, and it might not even be neutral. it might be literally taking life from us. Relationships are never simple. They're never easy. Our challenge is to go day by day and to try again, and to try our best to love others. And sometimes there are struggles, whether it's mental health, including addiction or depression, whether it's physical health or emotional health. We try our best. As I go across the state and even Pennsylvania to different congregations, last night, for the first time ever, I was in St. Paul's Haynesport. I've been as far north as Paterson, New Jersey, and had never been to Haynesport. But it was exciting to be there for the first time, to see that congregation that I've heard so much about but never got to be a part of before. And they look unlike any congregation that I've seen, and I've seen many. But what's really fascinating, what's really encouraging to me, is that while we all look so different, ultimately we're all very similar. Our worship services might be different. There might be praise bands. There might be an organ. There might be a piano. Or, like the congregation in Winona, there might be no music at all. But ultimately, we're all communities of people coming together to try to make sense of everything, to try to encourage one another, to try to figure out together how we can best reflect God's love to each other and the world. And that's a good thing. I'm not sure if I've told you, I probably have, because I repeat myself. But my 7-month-old son, who I'm almost guaranteed will be here for the second service, my wife and I had real trouble agreeing upon names. Truth be told, we had a lot of female names, but when we found out we were having a boy, we kind of panicked. We had a spreadsheet. We'd each add names to it, and then there was one column for my wife's rating, one column for my rating, and then it would be automatically calculated, the average, and color-coded. It was high-tech. And it took us a long time to come to a name we could agree on. And once we did, I begged, I pushed that our son would have two middle names because they were both significant and meaningful. His second middle name comes from my favorite name for Jesus in all the Gospels that we eventually hear during Advent, Emmanuel. My son's name is Manuel. That idea, that name means God with us, because I think that's really important. Ultimately, we will disappoint each other. I know I've disappointed my wife numerous times, and people have disappointed me. As a pastor, I know I disappointed people in my congregation, but we're not there because we expect everybody to be perfect. I'm not here because I think Deacon Bill will never make a mistake. I'm here because we will struggle through it together, mistakes and all. And hopefully, maybe, we'll get better at showing God's love to others. And even when we don't, even when we fail or when other people have failed us, I want to remember that name, Emmanuel, God with us. That we are never, ever alone. And that is the gospel. That is the good news. Amen.